Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
So yes, as I said, we're in this series called Centered, how to live a lifestyle centered on Christ. We're in the third part of our series. So the first part, we all remember the three P's, right? How many of you remember what the three P's are? In order to understand what your life is centered on, you need to first look at what you're passionate about. Secondly, you need to look at your priorities. And then thirdly, you look at the people that you surround yourself with. And so we looked at other aspects of being having a life centered on Christ and what it takes, you know, to be passionate for Him, to prioritize Him, and to surround yourself with the people of God. Secondly, during the second week, which was last week, we looked at this word, the next word, go ahead, preeminence. How many of you remember this word appearing? We're into P words, apparently. You know, so this is the fourth P word, preeminence, which basically speaks of his firstness with regards to his existence. Secondly, with regards to him finishing first. I mean, I love the fact that Christ himself embodied everything that he taught. You know, he wasn't just somebody who preached a whole bunch of good words, but he actually backed it up by the way he lived. And I was just sharing this at the life group on Friday night with some of you guys about the when Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 16 that in order to follow him, you must firstly deny yourself, take up your cross, and remember that he's talking about a cross way before he went to one himself. So he backs his words up, whereas a lot of people and their lives, religious leaders, actually their lives are celebrated more than, you know, their deaths. But Jesus Christ is the only major religious leader whose death is the apex of his life. So we talked about the preeminence of Christ, him being first in existence, first in priority, I mean, first in finishing the race first, and then first in terms of priority. That's what it means for him to be preeminent. Now, if we move to this next slide, many of you remember this picture last week. We were talking about how you can tell who made the Cabbage Patch Kid by the autograph of the maker on a certain body part of the Cabbage Patch Kid, which you'll just have to listen to the podcast to hear more about that. But each Cabbage Patch Kid is supposed to be unique. Not really. Just they're all the same. You just throw some different clothes on them. And it's just that's what makes them different. But we talked about, and him being preeminent, we were made firstly, go to the next slide, we were made firstly by him. Remember this? We were made for him. We weren't just made by him and then him leaving us to do what we will, but we were made, and your life is intended to be lived for him. Where your purpose is not known, your abuse is inevitable. Let's say, for instance, I have in my hand here an iPhone. If I take this iPhone and I go down to Starbucks and I'm just craving a latte, the latte is not sweet enough, so I pour some of that brown sugar in there, and they run out of stirrers. Found my stirrer, and then I start to stir the piping hot latte with this iPhone. What will happen to the iPhone? Yeah, that's right. It'll fail to work because that's not what it was made for, right? Or I decide to go to IKEA. Now, I've been in IKEA a lot this last week. Actually, not me. I haven't been in IKEA at all. My wife's been to IKEA a lot this week because we just moved into our home. And so I've got like calluses on my thumb from that, you know, turning those Allen keys, man. Golly. So I've been building shelves and drawers, and I don't think we buy jigsaw puzzles anymore for our family. We just buy IKEA furniture, just put it all together. But how many of you know, like, say, for instance, there's some IKEA furniture that requires a hammer, and let's just say, for instance, I can't find the hammer, but I look to my iPhone and it's hammer time. And then I go to hammer the nail in. What will happen to my iPhone?
It'll break.
That's right. It'll become a Samsung Galaxy. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to wake you up. So see if you're awake today. Some of you are looking at me with that afternoon glaze. So now I've offended some of you. That's okay. Just keep your heart open to the gospel. No, it'll fail to work. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. And I'm here to tell you the truth. You were created for Him. Not just by Him, but you were created for Him. And so to live any other way, apart from the way He intended you to live, you will abuse your life. Much like the iPhone hammer or the iPhone Starbucks stirrer. Because that's not what this was made for. And the way that you're living apart from the will of God is not what you were made for. You get what I'm saying? So you were made by Him, for Him, in Him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In Colossians. And then through Him we have redemption, because each one of us has tried to veer off in our own plan and purpose. But through Him we have redemption. I love it. I'll bring it up again. Romans 5 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we, you know, didn't know about it, didn't think about redemption, He died that we may have redemption. And so through Him, we have been restored in this place where we can call Him Father. We can actually come before Him, made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be called the righteousness of God. See, again, Christianity is the only major religion where the religious leader or the head figure actually took upon himself the sin of the world. Most religious leaders will tell you, you've got to do this, you've got to bow here, you've got to pay this, or you've got to wear this, or, you know, whatever activity. Jesus said, you know what? And part of my crassness is saying this, but we're in Australia, so I can say this. He basically says, you all suck, basically. Right? I know some of you are like, I need to offend you so you can wake up. You all stink. Okay? You are foul in my sight. The words actually in Isaiah are a lot more rigorous than what I'm saying. When he says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. It's not just some dirty rag that you wash the car with. I mean, go and research the Hebrew and what he means by filthy rags. I won't bring it up here. You go study it. But that's how your best righteous efforts look in the sight of Jesus. And so we don't work our way towards His love. And so on this Father's Day, we celebrate the fact that He loved you despite all of our failures. He loves you despite all of your shortcomings. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Whether we realize it or not, He is Lord. And so I said this last week, there's two types of people in the world. Those that know He's Lord and those who don't know He's Lord. It doesn't change the fact that He's always been Lord. And it's only through Him that we have redemption. He basically says, you know what, you stink, but I don't think you stink, so I'm willing to die and lay my life down for you. He doesn't leave us in our stinkness. But He says, I love you so much. That I'm willing to be the lamb that we sang about. The lamb of sacrifice. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of stinkness, of sin. And so He redeems us and makes us righteous. And so through Him we have redemption. Okay, I hope this message never gets old for you. Because that's basically the gospel. And now we can stand before Him. So that's the before Him aspect. Now we're going to go to Scripture. And I want you to open up your Bibles, okay, or open up your app. Do it in a way that will wake you up this Sunday afternoon. Maybe we can turn the lights up. Let's put all the lights up. Can somebody throw the lights up? Because I'd go there, but my cable can't reach. Anyway, while we're working on that, why don't we go to... let's go to the next slide. Okay, I want you to stand on your feet. Let's all read this together. Stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Okay, you ready? One, two, yeah. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To
to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me.
Next slide.
For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those who have not seen me, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, understanding, and knowledge of God's mystery,
which is Christ,
in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and firmness of the faith in Christ.
God bless the reading of his holy word. Why don't you go ahead and take a seat. I want you to, you know, you'll notice that I underlined certain words there. There's three words there that I want to highlight today as we're talking. And, you know, they're not the most happy things to talk about during our delightful Father's Day service. How many of you have been to church or grew up in a church where Mother's Day was all about, you know, oh, mothers are awesome. You know, let's preach from Deborah, Mary, you know, just the first ones to the tomb of mothers, you know, all this. And then when we get to fathers, it's where are the men of God going to rise up? And, you know, where are the, you know, that's why there's only like six fathers here and 20 mothers, and, you know, we need the woman of God to rise up. You know, we're not going to be one of those churches here in Brisbane, just so you know. And so I was really blessed to stand here. With all of the strong fathers in the house today. We are a church that are committed to raising up strong fathers and fathers to be. And so I want to honor you again, fathers, for, you know, really doing the work of ministry in your home and leading. And it really does take a... My heart is for all of you to be led by the Spirit as well and to lead the way, even in the way worship happens in your home. Because... you know, there's a tendency for us to be kind of staunch in moments of worship. But there's nothing, I think, more manly than a dude who's intimate with his God. That's why I love David so much. You know, like, although he was fallible, he was a warrior, but he was a worshiper. Like, in public, he would take on giants, rip beards off lions, and beat up bears, and take on armies. In private, he danced with his boxers on in the presence of God. He didn't care. Like, that's what the Bible says, right? And his wife was like, what are you doing? You know, but that's a real man right there, you know? As a man, I'm not the boxer thing, I'm just kidding. But like, a man who is unashamed to worship God no matter what people think. And that's what we want to see here in Brisbane is a bunch of dudes, real dudes, who are willing to sing louder than everybody, even if it's in the key of H. But they're really willing to lift up the name of the Lord. No, not all Run DMC on them, you know, like kind of folded arms and, yeah, I worship God in my mind. Come on, guys. Let's do it. Let's lead the way, man. But here's the three words I wanted to focus on. Number one is suffering. Bring a smile to your face. Number two is stewardship. Not so bad. And the last one is struggling or struggle. Joyful things to talk about during Father's Day. Suffering. Everybody say suffering?
Suffering.
Stewardship. Everybody say stewardship. And then struggle. These are the three S's that we're going to focus on from this text. So this is the part after the preeminence, leading into the next chapter. I did want to say this, in the writing of a letter, you've got to understand that it is a letter that Paul is writing from prison to a church in Colossae that he never visited. He never got an opportunity to actually go to Colossae, but he'd heard rumors of their awesome faith and wanted to write a letter of encouragement. I don't know about you, but when I'm suffering Probably the last thing I'm thinking about is writing a letter to somebody to encourage, especially somebody that I've never met before. But so even in Paul's writing of this letter, during his time of suffering, is an encouragement to us. Now, that being said, I'm not trying to deny all of our suffering. So, but I have a tendency to look at my suffering as a thing that we abbreviate called FWP. Everybody know what FWP is? A first world problem. You all know about first world problems? Okay, go ahead and throw up the next slide. See, I've had some IT first world problems. My brother Jay knows about it because... So I reformatted my computer and I threw everything onto a hard drive. And as I was, when I was flying, it always seems to happen when I'm flying too, Jay. I was flying to Nigeria for the conference about three, almost a month ago, about 3 weeks ago. And I had my hard drive in the USB. For those of you not familiar with IT, just stay with me. Just pray for your pastor. And so I was trying to transfer some files over when the plane hit turbulence, and then the USB jack came out. And I was like, oh, man. So I plugged it back in and wouldn't receive. And then all of my files is like 1.5 TB of terabytes. Is that what it is? See, I just tested. Information, I couldn't access it. And so we're still trying to salvage it, so pray for us. But then I came back from Nigeria, and then last week, obviously, from those videos, I was in Christchurch, New Zealand, and I lost my iPad mini, man. Like, I think I left it at Brisbane Airport, but I can't remember where it was, and my kids were playing, you know, they always like to play Angry Birds and stuff. So I don't know if it's hidden somewhere in my house. I imagine that, you know, there's much like dogs who dig bones and stuff. I imagine my iPad is somewhere, you know. So I called the airport. And there's the thing, like, I got the iPad as a gift, and it was like not just the entry level iPad. It was the 128 gig Wi-Fi and 3G iPad mini with the keyboard and stuff and all my sermons and stuff. Just like, praise the Lord. Well, you know how you can get things inscribed on the back? So I inscribed my email address on the back, kind of prophetically knowing that I was going to lose it. So hopefully somebody honest will email me and say, hey, I found your iPad. No one has yet. So continue to pray for your pastor because I'm suffering. There are other troubles that we're having, but I won't bother to turn this into Nelly's Oprah session. But I just wanted to say, you know, like, when I look at my suffering, though, in comparison to some of the suffering that I've seen globally, though, like I mentioned my trip to Nigeria, and our pastors there, our Every Nation pastors there, Pastor Sam and Grace Ayodokbon, are legendary. Like, they planted this church. God told them to plant this church in the middle of the slums. And they've got some very affluent people in their church. And so they took a step of faith. It would be like, now for those of you from Manila, it would be like, you know, guys from Makati planting a church in Tondo and saying, right in the middle of Smoky Mountain, like, go there and plant a church, a big-sized, prospering church. And they did it. And it's amazing. Like, they've taken people out of the hood, out of the slums, and turned them into millionaires. You know, God's really enabled them to prosper and gain position in the church, in the nation, as prominent business leaders, prominent governmental leaders. So you've got some of the elite people in the church, as well as people from the slums, who are worshiping in the same space, which is awesome, you know. And so after, they're about to celebrate 25 years of this church being planted. You're seeing the fruit of their labor and their work, reaching both the elite and the rich and the affluent, and then reaching the poorest of the poor, because they planted the church right there as a light, as a beacon of light, when most of the churches of that nature were all planted on the rich side of town in Lagos. But because of that, there's been a vocal voice that they've had in government and in the press that's caused them to and continue to pray for our church in Nigeria and our leaders there. Just pray for them, because as they've had to stand up for righteousness and against corruption and be vocal about it, there's been a lot of resistance from the enemy. And it's not the sort of resistance where I lost my iPad sort of resistance. I mean, this is life-threatening resistance. And so it's stuff that we in Australia would not be that familiar with, you know, like just guys casually talking about how their life was at threat because somebody blew up their building or something like that. You know, that was the normal conversation as I'm sitting there in the office, and here's me going, did you just say what I said and continue to move on to the next sentence? Can we just stop and go back to what you just said? Because it's just natural for them. They know that to take up their cross is literal. Makes us put things in perspective. Like, is he really preeminent in our lives? Or do we go to him like some genie or some Santa Claus, just going to him because we want stuff? And when it doesn't go our way, we kind of groan and whinge about, why couldn't I get the parking space at Coles? I'm suffering for the gospel. You know, come on, man. I mean, real talk. That's the way we've got to look at life. Like, we have it good. We are so blessed. We are so blessed to be in Australia. Some of us have fought to get here, to be here. I mean, hearing some of the migration stories of some of our friends here and other people that I've had the opportunity to meet, I mean, they've really fought to be here and to have this opportunity to make a life. And here's the caveat. I want to add this. What sort of life are you seeking here in Australia? You know, it's not the sort of life where you can just grab stuff and take what this nation has to offer. It's the sort of life where you sow yourself because he wants you to take ownership of this land like it's yours. Mm-hmm. Sure, I'm a Kiwi. Sure, I'm from New Zealand. And I'm proud to be from New Zealand. I'm proud to be a Samoan. But God's put me here, and this is home. You know, there's people that will migrate to, not just to this nation, but even to the city, that will just seek the opportunity. I'll just get my education because I heard the uni's good here. And I'll get some work because I heard the work's good here. And it's all about me, mine. And, you know, thank you, Lord, you're my blessing vehicle that I can get stuff from. Totally missing the point. No, God put you here because this is your mission field. God put you here because his heart beats for Brisbane. And so he sent you here because he loves the city. And it's just a privilege to be a part of this plan. So any suffering is to the glory of God. Like, if you go to the next slide, bro. No, the next one. go back to that one. That's just me in Nigeria. Like, I'm leading a fast song, but you can't see it there, but I am crying because I'm like, here are these guys just in this old, you know, this severe poverty, and they're dancing and singing like I've never seen in Australia or New Zealand before. I mean, they are doing cartwheels, they are, oh my gosh, you know, they're so, you know, just dancing around, jumping off chairs because they're just rejoicing to be alive. And here I am trying to, and I'm leading a praise song, like a fast song, and I'm crying. I'm like, God, what do I have to complain about? Go to the next slide, bro. Now I rejoice in my sufferings. What? Rejoice in my sufferings. Get that in your spirit real quick. Rejoice in your sufferings. Not moan in your sufferings. Not complain in your sufferings. Actually, later on in this book, it says do everything without complaining. Oh, from a guy in prison, by the way. Do everything without moaning or complaining. Rejoicing in your suffering. James 1 would say, you know, count it all joy despite affliction. Or Hebrews 12 says, to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I don't know about you. Again, I saw the Passion of the Christ. There's not much joy in that movie. I wasn't like, wow, that's pretty funny. No, there's no fun parts. There's no comedic parts in the Passion of the Christ. But there's joy in it. Like, can you wrap your head around that? Like, whom for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Like, he went through the ultimate form of suffering that was available at that time, which was the cross. Went and endured the worst sort of emotional and physical pain that you could in terms of an execution. And died naked upon two wooden poles, formed in a cross for the whole world to see, both Jew and Roman. There's nothing joyful that appeals to me about that whole experience. You know, you want to know what the joy was? Although he had screams of pain going on in his body, the screams of us stuck in our sin screamed a lot louder, and it was his joy to see us set free. That's the joy. That's what it means to rejoice in his suffering. See, Paul understood, although I'm in prison, and although I've been chained up and whipped, and although I'm locked in here, I know that I'm here because of the gospel spreading. And it's my honor to suffer. And I know that's something hard to wrap your mind around. Now, I know that there's two different types of suffering. There's suffering that is a consequence of your behavior. You know about that sort of suffering, right? Suffering where, you know, you basically pay rent at KFC, and then you wonder why you can't walk anymore because you're suffering. That's on you, all right? It's on me too, because I need to stop doing all that on Tuesday. But I'm here to tell you today, like, this is not that sort of suffering. This is the circumstances of being a follower of Christ. Because the temptation is to think, well, I'm following you, God. Why am I experiencing all this resistance? There is a devil that hates you. He hates the fact that you're here in Brisbane. Hates the fact that I'm encouraging you to live the life that Christ intended for you in Brisbane. He'd rather you just stay quiet. No, you can be saved. Just stay quiet. Don't influence anybody else to make a decision for Christ. Just get your degree and bounce. Just get your work promotion and then find a better city so that you can get some more money, and it can be all about the worldly things in the name of Jesus. We just cloak it on a cross on our necklace. But you need to understand that life is a lot more than just that. And if you're living that way, you haven't even tapped the surface of what God has intended for you to live. And to the point where you can actually make the statement and say that when I do suffer, not because of the consequences of my behavior, but as a follower of Christ, and I do experience resistance from the enemy, it's actually a place of rejoicing. And the more public you go with your faith, the more celebration there should be, because more people are watching you and watching the way that you live in response to the suffering that you go through. Some of you, when you made a decision to follow Christ, it cost you a lot. It cost you family. It cost you relationships. But you stood firm and you said, you know what? God, you paid the price for me to be free, and I'm going to do it no matter what it costs. And for some of you, it's been painful. I'm here to encourage you today. If that's your form of suffering, rejoice in it, because God wouldn't enable you to go through that sort of suffering if he didn't think that you could do it without him. You know, he empowers you. He stands with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings, plural, by the way, not just one time, for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. Now, there's been a lot of confusion, a lot of bad teaching about what this verse is actually saying, because it would then, you know, if you just read it at face value, you're like, well, I thought Jesus said it was finished at the cross, but why isn't it, you know, why is there stuff lacking? Well, Paul is writing this from prison, and he's realizing that, again, Christ lived in a finite body at a certain point in history. We have the opportunity, and now in the times that we do suffer, to the glory of God, to make that a testimony that people in our generation will see, because you will be the only Bible that a lot of people will read in the way that you live, in the way that they observe you. And so it's not saying that Christ's work was insufficient, you follow me? But it's saying that you are the extension of that work by being visible at this point in history in 2014, and the testimony that God brings as you walk through hard times, struggles, strife, suffering, you still carry the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Did we catch that? Is that okay? Okay, so let's move on. This is a man named Matt Chandler. He was here 2 weeks ago. And I wanted to just share this part of his testimony. And this was about almost 4 years ago. The video that I'm going to show you, is it there? If it's not there, I'll tell the story while he's doing that. But basically, Matt Chandler is the pastor of one of the more influential churches in the United States. And he actually pastors a church in Dallas, Texas, called the Village Church. He was actually working He was actually working when he fainted, and then he found out that he basically had a massive brain tumor, and they had to operate immediately. And so the video, I'll probably post a link up I'll post a link up on our Facebook of the speech that he gave. But basically, he got up and did this video for his church, which was supposed to be like the last Sunday if this operation was not successful. Obviously, it is because he was here 2 weeks ago. But like, it was touch and go, right? And he gave this speech, which actually made it on the news. In Texas, because he made the statement, "I count it an honor to suffer for the glory of God, that people may see that He's real. And even if I don't make it, and this is the last time that you see me, I count it an honor to have pastored you." And he's saying this, you know, holding himself back from tears. I'll post it up, but it's very powerful when a man who's facing a very real situation is able to say, I count it an honor to suffer this way because of the public platform that God had given him, and because Christ was very real in his life. He knew that Christ had given him the strength to go through the surgery, give his family, the strength to be able to endure through it. And he was saying, my family, we've all prayed, my young children, and we're all ready for whatever God might do. And I was like, I couldn't wrap my head around it. To rejoice in your sufferings. Right? You get to suffer. Have you ever thought about it that way? A lot of us complain about little things. And in the perspective of eternity, those things really don't matter. And so God would use someone like me to just come up in front of you and just say, those things don't matter. When your life is centered on Christ, He gives you everything you need to endure through suffering. I want to go through the last two really quickly. Are you with me? You all good? Okay, we're heading to towards the end. I became a minister according to the stewardship. Everybody say stewardship.
Stewardship.
Stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Okay? Again, whatever opportunities God gives you, whether it's opportunities to suffer or opportunities of blessing, it's how you steward them that will be worship to the Lord. Now, we all know about, and we're actually going to go through a series at the conclusion of going through Colossians about stewardship, of the blessing that comes your way or the provision that comes your way. But we want to talk more about stewarding well, in this case, the opportunities when you go through hard times. I want to encourage you to be full of the Spirit to the point when you go through the suffering, and you understand that God is with you, and He'll give you the strength to be able to go through those things. The power of understanding prayer, the power of understanding that His Word is more resilient than anything you can ask or imagine. It's how you steward whatever you're going through. Okay, let's close it up. Last one. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle, everybody say struggle.
Struggle.
I have for you and for those at Laodicea, for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, that which is Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, you'll notice I haven't really delved into this passage as much as I would really love to, because there's so much in this passage. And my hope is that you'll actually take these passages as we go through them from week to week, and it'll actually ignite a desire to want to actually study them yourself, because there's so much more than what I'm sharing with you right now. But I just wanted to close with this thought, okay, with regards to the struggle. Now, moving aside from where we were talking about suffering and looking at struggling, there is a struggle that we have as humans to stay centered on God. This is prevalent in us understanding and looking at the geographical location of where Colossae lay. Go ahead and show that map, please. Okay, here we go with the weather map. There's warm gusts to Colossae. Anyway, Colossae sits on the Lycus River, and Laodicea is in between Colossae and the Meander River. So this is kind of like a tri-city situation. Again, Colossae is on a very popular trade route, so it's well known and had a thriving economy. And Colossae, the name actually means a type of red fabric that was common in that city. So you would actually be, it was actually like a fashion capital as well. So it's famous for commerce and famous for fashion. You'll also notice the name of the river to the top left, Meander. Okay, this river is really well known because it flows into nothing. It just kind of fades out. Most rivers flow into a lake or a pond. This just kind of fizzles out. And so when some of you will remember in Revelation, Jesus writes through John to the church at Laodicea, and he says, you know, your deeds are neither hot nor cold, they are lukewarm, and therefore I spit you or vomit them out of my mouth because it's disgusting. There's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian, right? You're either hot or you're not. And so they would understand this because the water that would flow from Meander was actually really, really slow in its flow and was actually lukewarm. Like, it wasn't good for anything, basically. And so they understood being lukewarm to a whole new level. Now, I want you to catch this, because that would be the river that would feed into the Lycus River. And so, understanding that the whole lukewarmness, the temptation to just be lukewarm in a society that was very concerned about finances and appearance. Are you getting where I'm going with this? There is a struggle in us here in the First World West to stay fixated on the Christ of the Bible, because we are so distracted by, number one, our appearance, or number two, our provision, or where our money is going to come from. These are the top two things that concern us. And so the Lord would say today, even prophetically, with regards to the geographical location of where Colossae lay, that you must fight not to be lukewarm. There is a very strong temptation to want to settle for the life that Australia has to offer in worldly terms, rather than pursue the heart of God for this nation. They're two very different things, okay? Some of us came to Australia for the first one, the opportunities to build for ourselves commerce or education or strengthen our portfolio, whatever it may be. That's the first time. Or did we come here to understand that there is a missional aspect of what God has called us to be here? Because unless that's the main objective, unless we're centered around God's cause for us to be here, we're totally going to miss it, and we will settle for this lukewarm life, which totally misses the objective as to why God firstly created us by Him, for Him, and then secondly moved us here to Australia, or caused us to be born here in this great city of Brisbane. Fight being lukewarm. You weren't born for lukewarm. You weren't born for average. You weren't born just to settle for a nice job, a nice house, a white picket fence, and then as you grow old, you die. What a boring and waste of time life. You were not created just to retire for a gold watch. You were created for so much more. I don't care what ethnicity you are. I don't care where you came from. God's brought you here And he's igniting this purpose within all of you. And I hope you will catch this today. You were born for a lot more than being lukewarm. Happy Father's Day. This is the greatest gift that any pastor could give his congregation, is the awakening to the understanding that you live for a lot more than what this world has to offer. Of the inheritance that I want to leave for my children, yes, I want to set them up for the future, but I want to set them up for a kingdom future, a lot more than what this world has to offer. Because if I don't set them up to think through, like, how to reach the lost, how to pray, how to seek after God, and how to be intimate in worship. So I was blessed seeing David Kim's daughter, Hannah, here, standing here, just worshiping her heart out. That's one who knows how to worship and praise the God. Why? Because she was raised by parents that are pursuing after the heart of God and willing to, you know, just take 6 months out of their schedule to come and be here in a city like Brisbane and just, you know, want to sow themselves to help us through this transition. I mean, who does that? Kingdom-minded people do. You know, and that's the sort of life that God wants you to live. He wants you to live for a lot more than just a good paycheck and a couple of letters after your name, only to die with none of it in your coffin and taking none of it to Him. We live for an eternal purpose. Don't settle for lukewarm. And if you're in here and you don't know Jesus today, then I'm here to tell you, you are living much like my iPhone in a Starbucks cup. Serious. If you're going to settle for that life, then you're totally missing the point as to why you're existing. You want to know why I exist? Talk to the one who made you. Well, you can't now, he's dead. And then read the manual. If you want to know, understand the iPhone, you watch the videos of the WWDC. and then you read the manual. For us, we want to understand why we exist. We talk to the one who made us. And we read his manual. And my manual tells me that I was born. And not just born once, but born again. For greatness, for a great impact, and to reach the lost, and to love those who don't know Him. That's the life that God's called you to. Amen?
Amen.
That's enough talking from this brown guy. Let's shut this down. Father, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters here today. And I just pray, Lord, beyond my words, I pray Your Holy Spirit inspires us to live for a lot more. On this great Father's Day, where we celebrate Your fatherhood towards us, not leaving us in our sin, but leaving the throne of heaven and embracing our sin upon Your scarred shoulders as You took upon Yourself the cross, being the rightful price that was paid that we may experience life before You. So we thank You, Lord, that even for those of us who are experiencing suffering right now, I thank You, God, that You've given us the power to endure, to press through, that we would walk through every test and turn it into a testimony. We would see every mess turned into a message. We ask, Holy Spirit, You help strengthen us, give us all we need to win, overcome. Just as your heads are bowed and as your eyes are closed, with no fancy music playing in the background to woo you, this is between you and God right now. And if you want to make your life count for something greater, and maybe you've been settling for the life of just living lukewarm, but you're realizing today God's calling you to live for something so much greater. If that's you today, I want to encourage you just to stand to your feet today so I can pray for you. I'm not going to give us too much time. I just want to give you time if you want to make that response and just stand to your feet. Maybe 5 seconds. Father, I thank You, Lord God, that You've called us to so much more. Lord, we're not going to settle for anything less than everything that You have for us. Lord, we refuse as a church, as every nation, Brisbane, to settle for the lukewarm. Lord, we know it's a struggle. We know there will be suffering along the way. But God, we thank You that You're with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And You love us. We praise You for who You are. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen?
Amen.
Go ahead and give him praise. Put your hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're done for today. I wanted to, again, wish the fathers a happy Father's Day. Make sure you spoil these fathers, okay? If your father's not here and you've talked to him on the phone and you don't have a father here, well, take one of these fathers and just spoil them wrong. That's about it. Don't forget, on this Saturday, you've all got the address, 103 Hertford Road, Upper Mount Gravatt. I keep saying Gravatt. Why do you pronounce them so differently here in Australia? Hopefully we'll see you all there. Please spread the word. We'd love to see everybody there. Don't forget, you can just hang out and after the service. But you're dismissed. Have a great week ahead. God bless you all. Play that funky music, white boy. Peace.
'Hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.